This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
The Iron Bowl conversation, a person who knows all about the game that was played at Bryant Denny, Jamie Erdahl, there of CBS Sports, joining us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. The question that we've gotten the most off the air, Jamie, as well as on the air, has been, why no interview with Sark? Was that a CBS call, if you'll take us behind the curtain, or was that something that came down from Alabama?
As far as I know, that was an Alabama decision. It kind of goes in line with, you know, this game, as long as it was being played. Again, as far as I know, it was going to count for or against Nick Saban's record. And so the fact that it was still kind of his game, he prepared the team. The fact that he physically wasn't there doesn't mean that his mark and his handprint wasn't going to be all over that win. So, you know, it was his still game to kind of be at the helm. And so we both kind of went forward and kept him as a head coach, and that's why he was the one we interviewed at the end of the game.
I'm interested just sort of in that process, because obviously doing sideline as well, I know how difficult it's been to get a coach to come over, get a headset on, get in front of the microphone. The headset doesn't work. They can't hear you. It's too loud. You can't hear them. It's just technically there have been a lot of issues this entire season. How are you guys able to make that work with the Nick Saban interview, just technically?
Yeah, and it's with any coach that we've had, but we definitely went through some wrinkles, I think, at the beginning of the season. It takes definitely a big-time effort, you know, in the day and a half leading up to, you know, kickoff. It really should be that we've run through any scenario. The biggest thing that we found was just, you know, at times, because of, from a broadcast perspective, at times, you know, we need to get to commercial, but we don't want to hold the coach, that we want to tape it, you know, and then just run it back 30 seconds later. And, you know, at times, you know, I'm asking a question, but he can, you know, coaches can hear Brad or Jerry talking in their ear. It's just kind of, so we ran into those speed bumps, I think, a little early on. But after that, we were able to kind of figure out all the kinks. And now it seems to be a pretty smooth process. I know ours looks a little different than how other people do it, but, you know, I like the headset. It's kind of like a guarantee that they can definitely hear what we're saying. And I think it's gone pretty well so far.
Jamie, you've had an opportunity to see this Alabama football team multiple times so far in this 2020 season. Just your overall impressions on this football team, and how can anybody potentially stop them down the road?
Yeah, I don't think anybody can at this point from what I've seen. You know, a very different team than what we saw. I think October 2nd was our first game with them against Texas A&M. Talented then, but still, and I kind of laugh and roll my eyes a little bit, you know, on October 2nd when Nick Saban's telling us that still a lot of room to improve, this team can get better, because at the time you sit there and you look at those wins and you're like, this is already a convincing win. What do you mean you can, what do you mean there's room to improve? But then you see them on December 2nd and you're like, oh my gosh, this is an entirely different team. They really have honed in on any issue they could get their hands on. And you know, one thing that I hear time and time again from players that either come into the program or guys that have been there since freshman year is, you know, how attention to detail Nick Saban is and how that reigns true through his entire staff and all the way down to the players. And I think that's what we see from an Alabama team like this one this year, is that the finer they can get into the details of their team, the better that team is and the harder it is to beat them.
CBS's Jamie Erdahl joining us here on Three Man Front on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. And your conversations with Gus Malzahn and the Auburn coaching staff, Jamie, heading into that matchup with the Iron Bowl, how much different was maybe the tone or some of the vibes that you were getting as opposed to some of the other games that you prepared for in speaking with them?
You know, I think Auburn knew already that it was going to be challenged, especially from an offensive line standpoint. Once again, you're going up against a wildly talented defense and a defensive line. But then, you know, to be depleted the way Auburn was from injury, you know, and from illness is just that, I think, was already going to be kind of a frustrating standpoint. They had linemen that were available only on emergency basis. You know, when you have a position group as important as that one, especially when you have a quarterback who's pretty fleet of foot in Bo Nix, but that doesn't mean that he needs to be scrambling on every play. And you have an offensive line that essentially what they were saying was, if we have one more guy go down, we are in real trouble. That's just not the kind of personnel you really ideally want to have going up against Alabama. So, you know, I think already they were just challenged from the get-go in terms of protecting Bo Nix and giving him enough time to make good decisions back there against Alabama.
Jamie, I'm interested in sort of the distribution of responsibility. We know that Steve Sarkisian was acting as the head coach of that team during that game against Auburn, but did they let you inside on anything else that had changed as far as who would make decisions with special teams, going forward on fourth down, defensive adjustments? What other changes took place for that Alabama staff during that game?
Yeah, you know, as far as I know, the way Steve Sarkisian explained it to us was he was going to try to keep everything the same. And that's what I saw on Saturday as well. And I mentioned that in a post-game report that I did, that he really, you know, early on, I watched him pretty closely in the first half, and it was a very similar body language and behavior that we saw in any other game, which was when the defense was on the field, you know, you could have thought that Sark would have been over in Pete Golding's pocket and, you know, wanting to know about the defense. But that's not what happened. He was very much behaving the same as he did when he is the acting offensive coordinator, which is meeting with the quarterbacks, checking in with the wide receivers, running kind of the offensive huddle, which is exactly how he does when Nick Saban is around. And I really didn't see that change. Now, would it have been different and if it had been a one-score game? Sure, but you can't play that game. This is the game that we had, and that's how he acted. So it really, to me, the only difference was the physical absence of Nick Saban. Otherwise, everyone behaved the same that they would on any other game.
Jamie, in regards to the time that you've been able to spend around Mac Jones and the fact that this is his football team this year, granted he's got Najee Harris, a senior leadership group as well, but this is really his football team. Can you tell that his confidence level has grown as the years progressed, because he's definitely got the successful numbers that's putting him in the Heisman Trophy conversation?
Yeah, I think what I always appreciate about Mac and talking to him is he just seems like a really patient and calm young man. And I don't think that those are technically usually words that I would use, you know, on a freshman, on an 18-year-old coming in. So if I had spoken to Mac at that time in his life, I probably wouldn't have described him that way. But he's really grown up. And so the young man that I interact with now is really thoughtful. He's patient. He put a lot of time and effort this summer into just kind of the mental preparation and how challenging that can be behind every game. You know, he started back in the summer just breaking things down, and he spends, you know, a really good amount of time thinking through, you know, decisions as a quarterback instead of just doing, you know, the physical repetition of it. But he has an interesting approach, and when I speak to him, it just comes across as a person that's grown up and matured and learned a lot even before he became, you know, in charge of this team, which I think is really a testament to how calm he looks and collected out there in the quarterback that we're seeing now.
Jamie, you get the best game of the week in the SEC, and I'm just interested because there have been some things that have been very surprising, some things about exactly the way that we would have thought. How would you just assess the league overall based on what you've been able to see, who you've been able to talk to so far this season?
Yeah, I think everyone has hit speed bumps. I just think it has happened to teams at really inopportune times. And, you know, in previous years, I usually would have seen, you know, maybe a mid-November. You know, you're really starting to see how the conference would shake out. You see teams either truly coming together or starting to stumble a little bit because maybe they hit some hardships at the end of October, and then mid-November to me usually is a really good test of, like, is it an upward trajectory? Are we plateauing, or are we going downhill? But this year, it's kind of been all over the board. And I think a lot of that has to do with postponements and guys getting sick and, you know, teams buying in or maybe not buying in as much to the protocols. And it just, and it happened to people at different times. And to me, it felt very, you know, disjointed at times. And I feel like, you know, this last game, I'll take the Iron Bowl for example. I stood on that field on Saturday, and it made me appreciate what that game usually feels and means the Saturday before the SEC championship. I felt like the Iron Bowl felt different because it was in the middle of the season. You know, it just, And so I don't know if that trickles to teams, but I know that's how it feels different to me, that because the schedule has been such a variety that we're not used to, it has made the entire league and schedule feel different.
Reporter and host there of the SEC on CBS, Jamie Erdahl. You can follow her on Twitter, at Jamie Erdahl. Jamie, always a great job. Thanks for joining us, taking time, and enjoy this next weekend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Jamie Erdahl and all of our guests appear on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, an easy-drinking hard seltzer, just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.